to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people's stories and events in Central Iowa. I am your host for the next hour, Saquon Gatlin, and I want to thank you for joining us for this June 25th edition of the show. Coming up on today's show, we have the 7-day weather forecast and news from around the state. Also, two Iowa State editors-in-chief discuss why there was a need to rebrand one of the university's publications. Crystal Davis from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau will join me in the studio to tell us what events will happen next month. Stay tuned. This is Local Talk. Is your umbrella still around? You're going to need it this week. Today's forecast is cloudy with scattered thunderstorms over the course of the day and into the night. There's an 80% chance of precipitation with increasing chances of rain late tonight. The high is 77 degrees and the low is 66. The rain and thunderstorms will continue into the morning tomorrow and slow down in the nighttime. Tuesday's high is 79 degrees with a low of 63. On Wednesday, the temperature picks up a bit on the partly cloudy day as the rain takes a short break. Scattered thunderstorms are expected to return on Thursday with a 50% chance of precipitation and a high of 89 degrees. As the weekend and the month closes out, the temperatures will peak in the low 90s on Friday and hover around there on Saturday and Sunday. Let's take a look at what is going on around Iowa in the news. A train derailment on Friday caused a massive oil spill in northwest Iowa. 14 of the 32 oil tank cars leaked oil in Lyon County. Crews are attempting to clean up nearly 230,000 gallons of oil from the floodwaters near Dune. No information has been released on what caused the train to derail. Areas downstream are managing their water systems carefully as a result of the spill. Almost 100,000 gallons of oil have been contained. The crew is still in efforts to clean up the spill. A Des Moines resident was found with a gunshot wound after officers heard shots fired across the street from the Des Moines police station. The woman was located around 2 a.m. in a bar parking lot near Club Elite with a gunshot wound in her arm. Her condition has been described as not life-threatening. A young man was arrested in the same area while fleeing the scene on foot, but his charges are unrelated. Sergeant Paul Perizek said 22-year-old Leonard Alonzo Castellanos left the scene in a vehicle and struck a parked car while driving high speed. He was found with a handgun and charged with carrying weapons, interference with official acts, and two other charges. At the moment, no one has been charged with the shooting. A young girl drowned at Gray's Lake in Des Moines Saturday evening. Des Moines police and fire personnel arrived to the scene 20 minutes after receiving a phone call. The 6-year-old, who has not been identified, was pulled from the lake shortly before 8 p.m. Emergency personnel immediately performed resuscitation. Sergeant Paul Perizek said the young girl died later that night at Blanks Children's Hospital. This is not the first occurrence of a young child drowning in the last 2 weeks. Authorities say at least 5 people have been found dead in water or pulled from waterways in Iowa over the last 9 days. 3 of those 5 were children. And that's all we have for your statewide news this morning from the pages of the Des Moines Register and KCCI. Two Iowa State students have made a concerted effort to create a diverse culture through Sir Magazine, a student-run publication. Current editor-in-chief Brandon Spencer and previous editor-in-chief Trey Moore sat down with me to speak about the importance of providing a voice for the voiceless or the cultures not having the outlet to speak. Trey began rebuilding the publication in the fall of 2016 by bringing stories not previously heard to the magazine. At the beginning of his first publication, he wrote, "We are the Vox Populi," and explained what that phrase meant to create a new direction.
Vox Populi, voice of the people. We said that in the first issue because, you know, restarting Sir, we wanted to change the audience and make it a more encompassing audience of the students that are on Iowa State's campus that I saw weren't really being seen in the magazines on campus. So I really wanted to make something that was a voice of the people and to have more of a global vision and bring in, you know, international students, just pretty much all the students that I felt the voices were pretty much unheard.
You had this idea of voicing the voices of the unheard. Can you explain how you achieved that throughout the magazine?
First things first, we wanted to try to get writers that were from all different backgrounds and tell different types of stories that you wouldn't really see in any of the campus publications. We had a story about a girl who had a tent and she had to live in the woods for a while because they had to move out of their apartment because it like got infested or whatever.
This was a real story?
This is a real story. We just wanted to change the type of stories that you could tell from people that you would never hear of because you would never hear a story like that. We just pretty much tried to give voices that you never hear in other magazines.
Can you explain to me what was Sir's original direction?
The original direction was like a men's lifestyle magazine. So, you know, they'd have a lot of articles on like working out, like what's going on, like with different fitness programs on campus or like local restaurants, bars, what's the best drink to get at bars, kind of like men's interest stuff. And I saw that there was a place on the campus for something that was a bit bigger in its scope and its vision. I was just inspired to do something that was, I don't know, just go big. You know, I feel like people always were given the excuse that, oh, you know, we're in Iowa, like, you know, you can't do that, there's limitations. And I'm like, nah, like, I think.
You can't do what specifically? Because you said, you know, we're in Iowa, you can't do that. What limitations are you talking about?
People put, like, creative limitations on themselves. The themes that we would go for in the magazines, doing the post-apocalyptic type of theme, like, you wouldn't, like, these are pretty big grand scheme ideas, and so there's, like, a lot of storytelling. Like, none of the pictures, everything in the magazine is a narrative. Like, all the clothes and the makeup tell the story of the overall issue. And there's a story being told from front to back, just like a book. Just that in itself, like if I tried to go to other outlets, I just wasn't going to be able to do that.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to create a platform where you could come into a meeting and say a big grand scheme idea like that. And people are actually like, okay, you know, let's work out the details. Maybe that could work.
Brandon, you wanted to join in on that?
Yeah, just off of the standpoint that a lot of people's mindsets here is, oh, well, it's Iowa. This is in New York. This is in Chicago. This is in L.A. You're in Iowa. Ames, Iowa at that. You get what I'm saying? You're coming to, you know, certain groups of people and, you know, you have these ideas, what Trey is saying, and everybody's scared. It's almost like a bit of fear. You get what I'm saying? Because we're in Iowa. We're not there yet. We're not on this level yet to do that. You get what I'm saying? We don't have the resources to do that. So with that being said, you're left with a group of people that, one, aren't going to be willing to try, aren't, you know, fully committed to the idea because of fear and the lack of, you know, believing in oneself. With voicing everything and having everybody come together and making these stories come to fruition the way as they should, it takes having people on board that's going to be like, you know what, hey, either this ship is going to, you know, get to the next place we got to go or it's going to sink. But if it sink, we're going to sink together. And we're going to know that, okay, next time we make the next one, we ain't going to do that again.
Okay.
So it's making sure you got your right people around you because people are afraid of where we at.
In the situation of rebranding the magazine, it's important to think outside of the box and get those different voices to try to make a new production. Is that kind of what y'all going along with?
Basically, because to do something, to get results you've never gotten, you know, you got to do things you've never done. So if we want to make something that's never been made before, we have to take the talent that hasn't been used. that's there. And I just wanted to add to the voice of the people portion. That's also part of the creativity of Sir, is that, you know, at every page turn, everyone on the team can look at something and be like, you know, hey, I did that. Like, oh, that was in the meeting. I said that and it ended up in the magazine. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you gonna come here and the end product is like just this mixed pot of everything that we all came up with.
It's a compilation of all the voices and ideas of all the different people.
And it never ends the same way it starts. Like we start with one vision, and because of that technique that we use of bringing everybody's visions together, also to aid in the output, it always evolves into something that we all look at the end and be like, oh, like we never thought it was going to go there.
The editor-in-chief creates the vision or the direction of the magazine and leads the organization in making that vision a reality. Can you explain what is the importance of having a diverse crew to achieve this vision?
It's like a symphony. You know, you need all types of sounds. And as the editor-in-chief, you know, you're like the conductor or whatever. So you have the overall vision for the end product, but everyone has to put their gears in place for that final product to turn out.
You can brand it.
With being the editor-in-chief, you know, like Trey said, like you're pretty much the person like leading the symphony and making sure like, okay, you know what I'm saying, the violin's going to come in here, that's going to, you know, we're going to take that down a little bit over there. You know, you have to micromanage everything while still making sure that the end image and the story that you want to tell is being told, while also making sure that, like, the logistical things are happening the right way. Like, okay, you get what I'm saying? We have these forms together. We have that. So it's, because I think when people get caught up, like, when they hear editor-in-chief, they think that, oh, okay, you get what I'm saying? You just tell people what to do and it's that. But it's a lot more, you kind of in charge of everything and making sure that everything is working the right way. And with me, with being the editor-in-chief, you know, yes, I created the idea of the spring semester's issue, our 12th issue of Sir, but one of the things that has had the magazine be so successful is my teams, you know, the directors and the people on those teams that they direct, you know, so it's a collective group of people. It's not just, you know, me at the head of it. You get what I'm saying? Because if it was just me at the head of it, trust me, we wouldn't have a 12th issue. You get what I'm saying? I couldn't have done it by myself. So it's also, you know, having one, the talent and the thought process to come out with a well thought out idea and concept for the issue, but also having the grit and the tenacity to be able to take, because at the end of the day, we're all students. So you have to be able to take away from the fact that, okay, you get what I'm saying? We might be friends. We might, you know, be classmates. We might have classes together. You know, we might be cool, but also like, this is business. You get what I'm saying? And having that process about yourself to know how to handle things and know how to go about the management of things.
Can you, since we are talking about the concept, we have a few of the magazines with us. Trey, you have made 3 issues, correct? Or you were like pretty much in charge of 3 of the issues.
Yeah, I was in charge of 2, and then I helped like bring the idea for the spring issue of the 2017 one.
Okay. Yeah. And then Brandon, you just created the last edition, issue 12. You have that with us.
Yes.
Can you go into a little bit more about this? On the cover of issue 12, the most recent edition, there is an African-American woman who has her eyes closed with someone's hand on her hair. Mm-hmm. She has a curly afro with a series of jewels above her forehead. Yes. How did this cover represent the new direction of Sir and the meaning to this new magazine?
We had a bronze chest plate and a bronze crown made from by hand by grandma from grandma's attic, who also let us borrow some clothes for the shoots. The whole concept for the 12th issue, the whole tagline was "The future's upon us." Now, with that, I knew that a lot of people, when hearing it, they're going to think like, okay, it's going to be very futuristic. And so, you know, when you're thinking of futuristic, you're going to, you know, at first think, I don't know how to quite word it, but you know, like
flying cars,
yeah, back
and
to the future type of, yeah, you know, okay, what I'm saying, and technology and all of that, in which, you know,
like the more Western idea,
yeah,
of the future.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, and to a little bit, you know, not to negate that whole thought process and that whole thing that people have when hearing "The future's upon us," because that was one of the original points that I built off of, but like I said, I built from it, you know, to something bigger. And I wanted to kind of play on the fact that people are going to think that, okay, it's going to be very futuristic, but wanted to have it more simple, but more meaningful in the same sense. So what you see on the cover, you see a queen being crowned.
Okay.
Hence, the future is upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and as soon as you turn the first page, as soon as you turn the cover, you will see inside it says, the queen has been crowned, the future is upon us, .. And you see another picture of her, name is Yehida. And on this one, it's like from straight forward, her eyes are open. You can see the, it's a pearlescent crystal right over her third eye, hanging down. So, like, you can really get a good shot of her face and just the softness of her facial structure to kind of show that queenliness about her.
Mm-hmm. But now she's in this royal position, maybe where she's in charge of the kingdom or whatever. Yes. So it's kind of a little bit of a, I guess that is pretty futuristic because we're so used to the king being the one that is crowned. So is that where you were going with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There's a new heir to come. It's like out with the old, in with the new, in a sense, but still honoring the old. And so with inside of my editor-in-chief letter, I said that, you know, this is a story commonly untold to us, you know, not the future that, you get what I'm saying, we dream about, but more so the future that we deserve.
Can you actually open up your letter and read the last paragraph for us, I believe it was? I thought that was a pretty interesting paragraph you had.
I present to you a gift that has been given to me and urbanely polished with the work of my amazing directors alongside their teams, allowing this semester's tagline, The Future's Upon Us, to flourish and declare relevance within our 12th issue as it speaks to a plethora of audiences, while continuing serves purpose to provide a voice for those commonly unheard. So it is with great honor and titillation as I present this semester's issue of Sir to campus. The future has now arrived.
The future has now arrived. That's the last part. The reason why I had asked you to read that, because you had also spoke about the voices of the unheard in that paragraph. Can you explain how the new issue continued to expand upon that idea of voicing the voiceless in this magazine, and also what that had to do with the cover?
I set up this issue to be broken into three parts, kind of how the ones before mine were done, but more so in a sequence that, like, you get what I'm saying, part one, part two, part three. Mm-hmm. Before, it was just, you get what I'm saying, look book one, look book two, look book three. You know, but this one is more so like, okay, this part, that part, this part, and you need to look at it this way to kind of get the transition of everything.
Okay.
And so in part three of the magazine, if you flip to page 54, you'll see a picture of two hijabi girls. Their names is Miski and Khadija. And they have gold lipstick and gold eyeshadows, very shimmery, not too much subtle, it's very like out there, catches your eye, it's meant to be attention grabbing. And then their hijabs are brightly colored. Miski has a bright gold hijab and it has a metallic type of luster to it, as well as Khadija, hers is more of like a orangish bronze, but still has that metallic luster to it, so it really shines in the light. Mm-hmm. So I wanted them to have something that really catches your attention, while, you know, it's bold while still being simple, not doing too much, you know. And behind them is a clear blue sky with American flag waving behind them. And this speaks to the voice of Black hijabi girls and just Muslim women all in America, that, and Muslim people that don't feel comfortable and don't feel as though they have a voice and don't feel as though they can fully express themselves. You get what I'm saying? They follow with their religion, but they still don't feel as though they have the means to fully be accepted in this country. So with the future, and this is part three, so this is like the we have arrived part, so this is showing like this is the future that we deserve. We deserve a future where two Black hijabi girls can wear brightly colored hijabs without being looked at as though something's wrong with them, with the American flag flowing behind them.
So is it trying to possibly symbolize that this is their country as well?
Yes.
That's a brilliant idea.
You get what I'm saying? People pay taxes. You get what I'm saying? People pay homeowners, like, fees, all type of stuff. But then to still have to leave your home and like you're less of a person. You deal with the same things and do the same things that other citizens that get treated better than you do, but yet you're treated as though you're less. And wow. Now with the political state of our country, I feel like this is something that needs to be seen. It needs to be seen for many different reasons, you know, because some people aren't making the right decisions, and maybe this could help regather their thought process.
Mm-hmm. So, or at least just show a different perspective.
Someday, I wanna lay down like God did on Sunday. Someday, I remember this on Sunday. That way, yeah, way, that day. Someday, I wanna testify. Someday. I wanna hit the red dot, I never find something. I've been trying to make you love me, but everything I try just takes you further from me.
If you are just tuned in, you are listening to Local Talk in the Morning on 89.1 KHOI FM Community Radio. I am your host, Saquon Gatlin, and we are hearing from the former editor-in-chief and current editor-in-chief of Sir Magazine on rebranding the magazine from a men's interest publication to one of the, if not the most culturally diverse publication at Iowa State. This is a very interesting representation that we have in this magazine. I do want you to go into a little bit more of the pages, but can you talk to us about how the representation of diversity in either Sir Magazine previously or in magazine publications before becoming editor-in-chief, what did you guys see around campus? Trey, you became the editor-in-chief when?
I got the offer in summer of 2016, and that's when I accepted it, and I officially was wrote in as the editor in the fall of 2016.
And can you explain what did you see on campus or around campus in the publications to where you felt as if you wanted to create this, or where you felt as if you wanted to bring about the voices of others? What did you see before in terms of the lack of diversity on campus publications?
The thing that actually got me inspired to really want to take a position such as being the editor for Sir was I had grabbed all the campus magazines, I think it might have been a semester or two before, and I was just like, you know, let me just do a little test and, like, look through all the magazines and see what the representation looked like. And for Black people specifically, the only thing I saw was either something that was athletic or a refugee story. And that was essentially the only time I'd really see them or, you know, hear their voice in a public campus publication. So I was just like, there's so many more stories to be told from everybody, you know, not even just the, you know, Black students on campus, but just everyone else. There's a lot more. This school has like almost 40,000 students. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of voices that aren't being listened to. And once I saw that, I was just like, this is time. This is the place and space, because there's so much space, because no one's, you know, that diversity isn't being taken advantage of. And so I just wanted to enter the market and bring, like, what I thought was, like, authentic diversity, you know, showing people in all different lights from all different countries, in having them also be on the writing teams and being on the photography teams so they can, you know, also aid in how people that look like them are being viewed.
On your first magazine, you have these two women on the cover, which is already a different beginning, I believe, for Sir, yeah. Because as a men's interest publication, it's already intriguing that it is switched into two women being on the cover. Mm-hmm. Can you go into detail of what they have on and why you chose them as the cover?
For the fall issue, we basically had to go through a cleanse. And so tonally, the issue was going to have to be drastically different so that you can make the mark and get everyone's attention. I wanted the cover that when you saw it, you literally had to pick it up because you're like, whoa, what's going on? So that was the inspiration for like the all black, because I wanted this tone to be so serious because I felt like we had a serious mission to do.
Now, just to explain the basis of it, it's an all black cover with two women facing each other. The one on the left has her head slightly on the one on the right, and the one on the right is looking at the camera.
So what's interesting about the cover is this cover was actually a like pretty last minute reshoot. The original idea was we shot it in, there was, you know, they had these sort of Lord of the Rings elf kind of looks going on. And the outfits were like, you know, green, olive, and there were these like very elfy looking. If you've ever seen Lord of the Rings, you know, you look at their you know, mm-hmm. outfits, it looks similar to that. And we took it in a forest by the creek or whatever.
That was supposed to be the original cover?
That was the original cover. And while the pictures were pretty interesting, I just don't think that it conveyed the idea of the rebirth. Shout out to Keisha Knight, who was actually the you know, casting director and stuff. And she actually was the one who was like, you know, Trey, I think we need to reshoot this. Because I was iffy on it. So, you know, Keisha hits me up and she's like, you know, I think we should reshoot it. They're cool, but I don't think they're hitting. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. And so with this one, the mood of the magazine was supposed to be, you know, dark. It was actually inspired by the film The Witch. This like dark tone, and I just wanted to have like this very raw feeling to it because, you know, we wanted to give it something new, like raw, like doesn't seem like it's like some corporation type thing, you know what I'm saying? Like this is from our hands. And with this, so we got like these dark outfits and we got this tribal-ish painting on their faces.
And we wanted the tribal painting kind of like goes down their the middle of their face and then around their eyes or so.
Yeah.
That's how it is. And then what is the thing around the neck?
So we still wanted to keep, cause so the inspiration behind the, like the film The Witch is set in this Puritan era of New England or whatever. And so I kind of still wanted to keep a touch of that look to them.
Okay. So what is on around their neck is just lace. It's just simple white lace. But what it did is it's creating a ruff. And so if you go back to, okay, well, fun fact, my name on Instagram, my Instagram tagline is The Ruff Artist, but not rough in the sense of like a dog rough. I actually got my name from the Wu-Tang Clan name generator. Fun fact. But the ruff, it means like, so if you ever see, have you ever seen like the pictures of, let's say like the old judges and stuff like that, mm-hmm. with, you know, the powdered wigs and stuff like that, and how they would, it's like something that you wear around the neck,
mm-hmm.
and it's like ruffled, and mm-hmm. called it a ruff. So it was kind of like paying homage to that type of thing, but not doing too much, because if you see they're just wearing like black drapings.
It's just like a thin mm-hmm. one that goes
that's
around
a simple
the neck.
Effect, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And we wanted their outfits to sort of blend with the background, so all you saw was just kind of their hair and then like their skin like glowing in this like blackness.
And you can only kind of see from the shoulders up pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looked like, it was interesting because it looked like they were coming like out of the darkness, and I don't know exactly how that worked, but it was a very interesting picture to see. Can you explain, you shot this at the old history Farmer. Where was
that? We did the lookbook shoot at Living History Farms, and we did the cover in Anderson Studio.
In the lookbook, can you explain a little bit more of the, because this was the first issue since the rebirthing or rebranding of Sir Magazine. Can you explain how you depicted the diversity and the new wave that you wanted to accomplish in this magazine? Because this was the initial one to start the trend of what's going on now.
So basically, like, you know, like I said before, a lot of the inspiration was, you know, we're in Iowa, but that doesn't mean that we have to wait till we go to California to try to do some next level stuff. So with the whole going back to the like the witch inspiration, that was kind of the inspiration behind the clothing and stuff too, was I wanted to, we're like, okay, we're going to reclaim like Iowa. Like we're going to like reclaim that, like what Iowa is and how we see Iowa, so we can change, you know, what are the possibilities of things that we can do here? Because, you know, in these places where these massive film festivals and stuff are, they started from somewhere, you know, they didn't start tens of thousands of people attending all the time. So someone's got to start the groundwork for that. And so I wanted to basically show Iowa in a light that you'd look at it and you'd be like, whoa, this is dope. You know, so we wanted to kind of add modern touches to that American, like gothic look that we kind of went for.
Can you describe the outfit just a little bit?
Yeah, so we would kind of mix, we actually got all of our outfits from like random goods. This was a very interesting part of the creating this issue, because the idea was cool, but I was like, oh, how are we going to get the clothes? You know, like, how are we going to get these super old, like, Puritan-inspired clothes that, like, no one even sells? So we were like, we're going to have to probably go to some thrift stores. And that also encouraged the idea of us a little bit taking more of a modern modern take on some of the outfits. Like, you have Wyatt here, who's pictured in, like, this draping, like, fur coat. Then we also put, like, you know, gold chains, and then like gave him some like shiny like Chelsea boots with his pants rolled up. So we kind of added like modern touches to these like old, you know, elegant looks.
How would you define the culture now, and what would y'all like to see in the years to come? Other than, you know,
the culture of the magazine or the culture,
the culture of the magazine, okay. the culture of the publication. How would you define it, and what would you like to see?
I would say the culture of Sir is a place where, and this was like, you know, the mission statement going into rebranding it, the culture is to create an environment where, you know, there is no limitations on who you are as like an identity, like who you are as a person. And I just wanted I didn't want to say, you know, all the rejects, but anyone that felt that they didn't have a home somewhere else to, you know, feel at home here, and just pretty much creating that space. And where would you say the culture is evolving with Sir right now? I think it's getting a little bit more, I think it's getting to that place where with Brandon, it can get the structure to go to that bigger and better level of getting Sir into a household name. Cause I feel like with me, I kind of had to, you know, get the seeds out there and water it and stuff like that. And, you know, we still were trying to get that structure. It was like 2-3 issues in. We're like, we're still putting out good content, but, you know, we're trying to get the structure together. And now I feel like with the transition of Brandon, we finally have that structure, and now they can keep building up from there.
So I would say that I would agree with you on that. I would have to say that I think that we're heading into a direction where people know who we are, and they know how we coming. You know what I'm saying? They know that we're going to do whatever we're going to do. We're going to do it unapologetic. You know, because I feel like that's how you have to be with your creative content. You know what I'm saying? You can't do something creative and then be like, oh, well, I'm sorry if, you know, you don't, you like, you shouldn't have to really.
There's no pandering.
Exactly. You get what I'm saying? Be like, oh, I'm sorry if you don't like it, but I really hope you like it. You're like, no. You get what I'm saying? Either you like it or you don't like it. You don't like it, don't pick up one of the copies. Straight up, you know? So we're making it for we're making it for our own people. You get what I'm saying? And that's just not black. That's just not Hispanic. That's just not, you know, so forth, so forth. Those, it's the people that understand it and that understand the work and the creativity that goes into it and that can appreciate it. Because it's one thing with just making something, but it's another thing with making something that's being appreciated. And I feel like CERT is getting to that point where we're being fully appreciated now. Yes. You know, it's no longer having to like scrap and climb and be like, do you see me now? Do you see me? Like, no, like, if you see me, you see me. Like, and I know you're going to see me because I know how much work we put into it. So you're going to see me regardless. But it's just if you're acknowledging it. And, like, I don't need your acknowledgement. I have my own people. So it's like, not just sir, but like, millennials, especially like our type of millennials, you know what that means. We're going into an area where I've been trying. I no longer need validation to make you love me for those who've never cared about me.
So it went from like being the reject space to, oh, we're not rejects. This is just, this is who we are, and we're just gonna make our own lane and live in it.
Once again, I am a child. I let go of everything that I know. Yeah. Of everything that I know. Yeah. And nothing hurts anymore. I feel kind of free. We're still the kids we used to be. If I still bleed, yeah, and nothing hurts anymore, I feel kind of free. We're still the kids we used to be. Yeah, yeah. I put my hand on a stove to see if I still bleed. Yeah, and nothing hurts anymore, I feel kind of. We're still the kids we used to be. Yeah, yeah. I put my hand on a stove to see if I still bleed. Yeah, and nothing hurts anymore. I feel kind of free.
The future is upon us.
We're still the kids we used to be.
Vox Populi, voice of the people.
I put my hand on a stove to see if I still bleed. Yeah. And nothing hurts anymore. I feel kind of free.
We just gonna make our own lane and live in it.
That was Ghost Town by Kanye West featuring Party Next Door. We've been hearing from the former editor-in-chief and current editor-in-chief on the importance of rebranding CERT Magazine, a student-run publication at Iowa State University. The full interview will be released later this week. You are listening to Local Talk on 89.1 KHOI FM Community Radio. I am your host, Saquon Gatlin, and today is the final Monday of June. Therefore, we have a special guest to inform us of the events to come in the month of July. Crystal Davis is the communications manager at the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. She joins me in the studio. Pleasure to have you on the show, Crystal.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All righty. Can you please tell us what shall we expect in the month of July?
Well, July, no rest in the summer. Ames is going to be hopping, and we're going to start things off with a bang, literally, with our Independence Day celebrations coming up. And we start on July 3rd, and July 3rd is when we have the fireworks. And a lot of people are saying, that's not the 4th of July. Why do you have fireworks on the 3rd? Well, if we do it on the 3rd, we actually get more bang for our buck, so to speak, and so we can put on a bigger show for the entertainment. And then it also frees up July 4th. You can go to some of the other communities around Ames and check out their fireworks and their community celebrations. So with that, Ryman Gardens also puts on a special event in conjunction with the fireworks, and they're one of our community grant recipients, so we're pleased to help promote that event for them. They are going to be open until the close of the fireworks, and they will have free admission for everyone starting at 6 p.m. on that day, and you can bring your lawn chairs, you can bring coolers with food and drinks. No fireworks or sparklers inside the gardens, please. And they will have some special music by Indigo Monks as part of their program, and then you can stay there and watch the fireworks.
Awesome. Now, where will people be positioned at? Like, where can people park at if
Absolutely.
They're trying to get around the city at that time? Because I know it's probably going to be a little bit hectic.
Well, absolutely. So in the fireworks will start around, we're saying, you know, in between 9:30 and 10 o'clock, kind of when it gets dusk and dark. And what we'll have you do is there'll be parking lots surrounding the Jack Trice Stadium, and those will be available for viewing the fireworks. And, again, we also say no fireworks, no open flame, don't shoot off your rockets in the parking lot. And that'll be a great location. And then just kind of across the street, the fireworks will go off, and it'll be a great display. So,
oh, nice.
So it'll kind of be centered around that Iowa State Center, Jack Trice area.
I am looking forward to that. I always look forward to the fireworks anytime that I'm in Ames.
And then you wake up the next day, and there is, I'm telling you, you don't need to leave town. There's plenty to do here on the 4th of July. So I like to say start your day off running so you can eat the pancakes later. So the Friendship Arc will have their 5 on the 4th, and this is their annual run. It begins at 7 a.m. at Ada Hayden Heritage Park. And this is a fundraiser for their organization, so it goes to a good cause. And they do have a kids' fun run that begins at 7:45. And then at 8 a.m., they have their 5K run and walk. And they do have a fee for this and with some pre-registration. So I invite you to go to their website, friendshipark.org. Once you get done with that, you'll be all ready for the pancakes at City Hall. So starting at 8:30, the City Hall, the mayor and the council will be hosting their famous and annual pancake breakfast. It's free for anyone, and that goes right in front of City Hall. And that gets you downtown in perfect position for the parade that begins at 11 a.m. I also don't want to forget that there's all kinds of other things to do. So starting at 9 a.m. right on Main Street, the Bill Riley Talent Competition will be going as well.
Oh, wow.
So that goes from 9 to 11, so right before the parade starts. And great opportunities to see some local talent. And then the winners do go on to the state fair and compete down there in August.
Now, anybody can participate in this? How does that work
right.
for the talent?
Right. So we invite you to email Sarah Buss. She's at the Chamber of Commerce, and she helps lead the Bill Riley Talent Competition for Ames. You can email her at sarah@ameschamber.com. She can give you all the rules and regulations and sign up. You can sing, dance, play the piano, perform. So it's a great opportunity.
Wow, that's really nice.
It's a good time. Also, this, I think, is the second or third year we've had dog doc jumping. That'll be on July 3rd and July 4th. That'll be at the 500 block of Burnett downtown. And that's a fun event to see. It is free to attend and watch. And so that'll be going on July 3rd in the evening and the 4th of July all day.
Now, that's before the fireworks on
yes.
the 3rd, correct?
Correct.
All right.
That is correct.
So before you go see some fireworks, you can see some dogs doing some awesome things.
Some fun acrobats, yeah. Yeah, well, then the July just keeps getting busier and busier. We were talking earlier in the studio about July 8th through the 10th out at the Ames Municipal Airport. Central Iowa Air is bringing in the American Barnstormers Tour. They'll be here July 8th through the 10th. So if you'd like to see some of the biplanes, see a little bit of history,
wow.
we invite you to go out there and check it out. They'll have some planes that are stationary that you can check out and look at them up close. And they'll also be offering some rides for those that are interested. That does have an additional fee, but be sure to check that out. It'll be a fun event coming to Ames.
Now, will any of these planes be any historical type of planes or planes that come from the past at all? Do you know of that for sure?
They'll be featuring 10 vintage travel air open cockpit biplanes.
Oh, wow.
So they will have some historical value. And this is part of a 5-city, 5-state tour. And so we're pleased that we're part of it.
Awesome.
So mark your calendars for that.
All right. Awesome. So that's going on within just basically the first 10 days of July. Can you tell us about what goes on in the mid of the month?
Right. Ames is the home of the Iowa Sports Foundation, and we're pleased to host the Summer Iowa Games here. They'll be returning in July for three straight weekends. So they begin on July 13th. Through the 14th and 15th. And then the next two weekends after that, the Iowa Games will be all over with their competition. And their big weekend is July 20th through the 22nd. And they have some opportunities. Not only can you go watch the sports, you can participate in them. They're for all ages. They have over, I think I wrote down, 60 sports are offered, and they have over 30,000 athletes perform participate in the Summer Iowa Games. But some things for you to do, they do always need help volunteering, so you can check that out. We have a link on our website, thinkgames.com, where you can click the Iowa Games and sign up to volunteer. They have athlete jamboree on Friday the 20th over at the parking lots outside Jack Trice Stadium. That's open to the public. There's activities, music, performances, and then they will be followed by their opening ceremonies, which always includes fireworks. So that is also open to the public.
So where are the games hosted?
All over. So we've got anywhere you drive in Ames, a lot of soccer's going on. They're over at the Lead Rec Center. They're on campus. They've also been having some of their games around the state, depending on where the facilities are, where the river or the mud run is. So it's a great event that is really encompasses all of Iowa. But we're pleased that the three main weekends are here in Ames, and we get to welcome all these athletes and their families to our community.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to that one. I try to stay active if I can. So that's going on over the weekends. What's going on over these weekdays in the second and third week there?
Well, we've got a little thing called Rag Brag coming to town on July 24th.
I don't know if that's little.
So we're very excited that after 10 years, we're hosting Rag Brag for the fourth time. We are an overnight town, and so we're pleased to welcome them to our community. We've got some great things planned. Some of the numbers, we anticipate we'll have over 10,000 riders come through. They have about 8,500 week-long riders that are registered, about 1,500 single-day riders, and then 10 to 15,000 non-registered riders. And we're lucky we're in the center of the state, so we can anticipate to be the biggest overnight town on the ride in terms of attendance. A lot of people like to get on and get off the ride here, and plus we've got some great entertainment lined up. We'll be having more people come in just to check it out and partake in that. And so it is open to the community as well. We need volunteers, people to host riders. We have our welcome area will be as they arrive over by the Jack Trice Stadium at the Iowa State Center area. And we have the Cyclone Loop. So the riders can arrive, and between 10 and 6 p.m., they have the opportunity to ride in through the tunnel, just like the football players do, and ride around the loop on the ground level of the stadium. So we think that's a great, unique opportunity, and we're so grateful for our partners with Iowa State University and Iowa State University Athletics. A lot of great buzz about this already. And as you come out, you'll get a sticker that says, "I scooped the Cyclone Loop." So that'll be their kind of their one-of-a-kind welcome experience to Ames. From there, we've got campgrounds in two of our city parks, Stuart Smith and Brookside, so we're excited about that. And then they'll head downtown. A storm is brewing downtown. And we got some great entertainment that starts at 4 p.m. that day. It is open to the public, and it's free. So we invite you to come down. Very family-friendly. And the only cost you might have, or if you're hungry, or you want to have a soda or something, we've got those will have a fee. But the music is all, and the entertainment, it's all open and free to the public. So we welcome folks to come down and check it out.
Now, what streets will be affected by this, just in case we can kind of give our viewers a little bit of a heads up on where they might not be able to get to?
Absolutely. So they're going to arrive into Ames coming up R38, and that turns into South Dakota Avenue over on the west side. And so they'll have, just so you know, safety is always the number one concern for not only the cyclists, but for the community and residents as well. And so we'll have lots of people manning at the stops, the stoplights, traffic, police, that sort of thing. So they come in R38, which merges into South Dakota Avenue. The South Dakota Highway 30 off-ramp, that's westbound, will be shut down that day. So we'll be encouraging riders to, or residents and community members to get off Highway 30 a little earlier or a little later. Then they will travel down Mortenson Road all the way down to Beach Avenue. And then they're going to turn on South 4th and kind of come behind Ryman Gardens. And then they will turn right there in front of Jack Trice Stadium. So that area right there will be closed to allow for the riders to do their loop. We also have RV parking, support vehicle parking right there in the Iowa State Center parking lots as well. And then several blocks on Main Street will be closed for the entertainment and the festivities later that night. The outbound, when they leave, they'll be leaving from Brookside Park, coming down University Boulevard. On the outbound, all the roads are mixed in terms of there will be vehicles and cyclists, so all the intersections will be controlled and manned, but we will not be shutting down any roads completely on the out route. So they'll come down 6th Street to University Boulevard and then head west on South 16th Street till they get to Dayton Avenue, which takes them up to East Lincoln Way, and then they head on over to Nevada.
Now, where can our viewers be able to access either this map or this information just to make sure if they want to know on that during that time, where can they access this information to make sure they know where not to go and where to go?
Absolutely. So we have a dedicated website, aimsragbri.com, and we've got maps there. We've got information on what's happening as well as opportunities to get involved. And we also have a dedicated email, aimsragbri@aimscvb.com, where we can get you in touch with the right community committees and answer all your questions for you.
Awesome. Can you tell us just a couple more things that are going on this month? We're kind of getting closer to the end of the program, but we have a couple more minutes to just share a few more things that's going on.
Absolutely. So I hope everyone's aware that we've got two great farmers markets that have started this spring and will continue this summer. We've got the North Grand Farmers Market up at the North Grand Mall. They are open on Wednesday evenings as well as Saturday mornings. The Ames Main Street Farmers Market on downtown Ames, every Saturday morning open as well. And don't forget about the great Ames Municipal Band concerts that are on Thursday nights over at the band shell for some great music. We're also kind of busy on hosting some, we have the All Iowa Tech Midwest Summer events that happen out at the Westtown Courts on the 13th and 14th and the 27th and 28th. So a lot of great basketball still happening with some of our youth. And we're kind of busy with some of our conferences and events. So we've got a few events that come, like our Aperiodic Conference, Iowa County Engineers, Urban Ag Academy, all part of either on campus or in the community, bringing folks in to learn more about professional development. And so we're pleased that they're here and we can welcome them to our community.
Awesome. Is there any last things that you want to share before we close out here?
Absolutely. If anyone wants to know more about what's happening with our events, they can go to thinkgames.com and click on calendar. And or you can give us a call at 515-232-4032, and we'd be glad to help you out.
All right. And once again, that was thinkames.com. All righty. Thank you so much. That was Crystal Davis, Communications Manager at the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. Crystal, thank you for coming in and sharing these things with
us. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Once again, can you just explain where they can get the calendar on thinkgames.com, or would this be at the Convention's Visitor Bureau site?
We've got a calendar right on our landing page up in the upper right corner, and that'll take you day by day or by week or by month, however you want to search for all the events. We also have this in our weekly email, which if you're interested, anyone can sign up with us to receive our weekly email that showcases events and businesses and organizations throughout Ames. So give us a call.
Alrighty, thank you so much for coming, Crystal. You have been listening to Local Talk. I have been your host, Saquon Gatlin. Thank you for listening. KHOY would like to thank all of today's guests and contributors for making this show possible. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOY at 89.1 FM. Remember, you can always hear a recording of this show later today online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and the information you heard during the program. Also remember, KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show, so if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.